Good morning, everyone. I see everybody's in high spirits. I'm back from the feast, still riding on that high. So, today at the feast, I'd like to go over a Bible study that I heard at the feast. It was given by Mr. Bill Bradford, and it was entitled The Promised Plan. So, we're going to be covering a lot in a very short time, so hang on, and here we go. All right, we'll start off in Genesis 22, verse 16 through 18. Genesis 22, verse 16. And said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Will I bless you, and multiplying will I multiply your descendants, and as the stars of the heavens, and as the sands which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So there we have this promise that's given to Abraham. Now, if you will, please turn to Genesis 26, verses 3 through 4. Genesis 26, 3. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. So here we see this promise being passed down to Isaac. Also, now if you will follow the promise into Genesis 28. Please turn to Genesis 28 and verse 3. In verse 3 it says, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assemblies of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So here we see this promise being passed down to Jacob also. Alright, now let's take a leap and see where this promise takes us. If you will, please turn to Acts. Acts 2. I'm trying to give you a summary of this idea. Okay, Acts 2, verse 28 through 39. "You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, and that he said, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. That this Jesus God has raised, up of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, which poured out this which you now see here. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know according that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now then, they heard this and were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then notice in verse 39, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Here we see the beginnings that the seed here, that it was referred to in the promise to Abraham, is being fulfilled through Christ. And we'll go further upon that. If you will, please turn with me to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, and beginning in verse 14 through 18. 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in a manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant. Yet if it is a covenant, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed. Interesting that it's plural, singular, not plural. There is a promise made. He does not say to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God and in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance of the law is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So here we see that through Jesus Christ, the promise is being extended to us, making us spiritual descendants of the promise. All right. Now, if you will, go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. And beginning in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and when he was called out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, if you drop down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise, says, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So from this passage here, we can see that we need to have faith and obey God in order for the promise to apply to us by God's grace. Alright, so then what, is the promise over? I think not. So if you will, please turn with me to Ezekiel 37. get here eventually. Ezekiel 37 and verse 27. Ezekiel 37 and verse 27. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I am the Lord, sanctifying Israel, when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. So here, God did not forget them. He's going to dwell with them forevermore. And also in Revelation 21, verse 7, Revelation 21 verse 7 says, He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I shall be his God, and he shall be my sons. So here we see that God keeps his, number one, God keeps his promises, and that through his promised plan, starting with Abraham, God will bring children into his eternal family. And to kind of leave you with the wrapped up thought here, we'll end in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Very interesting how it all kind of, this theme ties throughout the entire Bible, which is something I thought was, kind of struck me and I found very interesting to dwell on. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. And his pleasures is to have children in his kingdom eternally.